Well, Paul, thanks for joining me. I appreciate you being here today on the roof terrace in Gonzo's.
It's lovely, isn't it?
It's a great start to the day.
Guaranteed the weather, you said. Come along, it will be absolutely roasting, scorchio.
I know, and we're sitting right in the sun and I can feel it.
Yeah.
Wearing my sailor outfit.
What time do you depart?
Well, I'm actually on the new cruise liner that comes into Great Yarmouth. You know, that's I'm the captain of the ship. No, I appreciate it because, I mean, look, I'm on this journey trying to answer this question. What is a healthy lifestyle? And I have struggled with some of the ideas around healthy eating. What does that actually mean? Fitness, what does that actually mean? You know, should you be training 7 days a week? Should you be, you know, having cheat meals? Should you not? Should you be doing different sports? Should you be meditating? Is part of being healthy about spirituality? Is it about physical, mental? What is it? So I'm kind of questioning that. So I'm really keen to hear your perspective on it. But before we kind of delve into that, maybe you just give some context to who is Paul McVeigh, the legend?
That is a deep question.
It is deep.
This time of the morning, it's a deep question. Yes,
welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you say you're asking these questions of what's a healthy lifestyle and what is all this, I'm like thinking, are you having a midlife crisis here?
Yeah, I am.
An existential crisis?
Yeah, I am.
It's like, wow, okay. So straight in with the deep question, very profound, Kieran, as usual. So background, very quickly, I used to kick a little round thing about occasionally in the sort of wooden frame, and people used to cheer when that would happen.
You did pretty well at it, though.
It was all right.
Yeah, it
was good.
Yeah,
laugh.
Fun.
Good laugh. So yeah, a little few years for Spurs and Norwich, and played internationally for Northern Ireland. And then whenever I got too old, slow and fat, then I decided to put that behind me and start working in the kind of the world of mental performance, because it's something I was always passionate about and you know, being 5'6".
Nah,
4 foot nothing, as some people say. Then I just thought, I can't really try and be the biggest, strongest, fastest, quickest, and even talent-wise, you know, bit of technique, but I was never the best player. So I really just learned from a very early age that I needed to make the most of this and almost try and outsmart or outwit not only my opponents, but just people in football in general, because you just think that there's so much competition. I personally think it's the most competitive and ruthless industry in the world. So just to sort of give that some context, I think most small kids, boys and girls, whenever they're growing up, not everybody wants to be a doctor, not everybody wants to be a musician, not everybody wants to be an accountant. I would say the large majority of people growing up want to be a footballer, and that's across the world. So if they all want to start like that, then it's such a broad base. And then obviously as you sort of filter out the kind of the players who aren't going to make it for whatever reason, whether that's physically, technically or mentally.
But when they want to be a footballer, you say, do you think they actually understand what a footballer is?
Well, probably not, but I suppose it's more the fact that so many people love doing it and get the enjoyment out of it, and it almost progresses until they stop getting picked or they start seeing the hard work that needs to go into it.
Because there is that hard work element. I mean, like, your training routine is, and your, you know, pre-season stuff and all that is not just, oh, turn up on a Saturday, kick the ball and, you know, just hope for the best.
Yeah.
It is weight training, it's, you know,
it's everything. It's a lifestyle. It's not you know, because you're talking about your lifestyle and what's a healthy lifestyle, but actually football is a lifestyle. You know, I missed out on so many things, and not that we'd say it's sacrifices, just the fact that friends, families, christenings, weddings, birthdays, you know, I was in the middle of my football season, so loads of things I couldn't do. It's embarrassing that my sister and my brother booked their wedding days around when I was free. So that's the kind of thing that I just didn't, you know, I'm either in football season, have 4 or 5 weeks off in the summer, a bit more freedom, and then after that you're back in the football season again. So yeah, so that's pretty much what I did, and I love doing it, but I also realised that the sort of the potential of my mindset was going to be the driving force behind everything, and I think I realised that from when I read a book at 17 by a guy I think we've talked about before, Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
And for me, being a little short arse, you know, ironically it was called Awaken the Giant Within. I thought, I need some of that.
Yeah.
I could do with a little bit of growing. Yeah. So, and because I read it and the key message in the book was, stop looking outside of yourself, because everything you will ever need for the rest of your life is in here.
Yeah.
And I remember nearly falling off my chair reading that as a 17-year-old kid from Belfast. And, you know, sitting here as a 40-year-old guy, and I realised that was the best line, best piece of advice I could ever have had.
Mm. And, I mean, it's it's so big as of a of an idea. I mean, I know you say it did sort of change your perspective, your life, I guess, in something you've stuck with since. But I mean, it's quite a profound thing to actually get to grips with.
It is, but it's also a great starting point.
Yeah.
It's not to say that I knew everything at 17 and I had to start working on myself, just that no one, generally, this happens in for the large majority, no one's going to come along and hand you things on a plate, no one's going to give you anything, whether it's football, life, personal relationships, pretty much everything that you want to go and do, have, be, you need to go and make it happen.
Yeah.
And it's so, you know, I love listening to all sorts of people from, you know, different backgrounds, and keep hearing people talking about law of attraction and all this, you know, energy in the universe, and I'm like, yeah, I agree 100% with that, all of that stuff, but you still have to get off your arse and do it.
Yeah.
Because if you're sitting there waiting with all these good vibes, trying to attract it in, at some stage I'm going to get a great relationship, great job, great lifestyle, and then whenever I go out and do it and make it happen, and then obviously with that intention, you probably got a much better chance of making it happen.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess that's part of it, and I guess regardless of what your, whether it is the positive vibes, or whether it is getting a job, or whether it's, you know, being healthy, or whatever it is, it kind of all starts with starting.
Yeah.
You know,
all starts, and it's also the intention. And the end in mind, and the stealer from Stephen Covey, and those, all those different kind of, probably, you know, thoughts, ideas, concepts, whatever way you want to describe it. But for me, I was exposed to goal setting and being very clear about what you want to end up. And from doing that from an early age through to pretty much the halfway point in my life, you know, most average life span is just over 80, so I'm halfway through.
I hope
through.
You live a little bit longer than that.
Who knows, mate? Who knows, you know? Might, who knows what could happen, you know? But if for me, I'm going, well, to get to this point, I'm delighted with this stage so far, but I've still got a million more things to do and want to do and plan on doing, so... But it doesn't happen by accident. That's the point. It's no one is giving it to me.
Sure.
I'm doing my best to go out and creating the life that I want.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's that phrase of "Show me your friends, I'll show you your future." I mentioned that a couple of times to some of the other people, and you know, you were in that environment around for other footballers, other people that were focused on, you know, the next game, the next goal, that football lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Yet you strike me, ever since I've known you, to be a guy that has opened his mind to, as you just said, you know, these different concepts, these different intentions, these energies, and all that kind of stuff. How was that kind of, as you transitioned both into the later stages of football and then out of that? I mean, did you feel like an outlier? Were you having these like epiphanies?
Yeah, no, I definitely felt like an outlier in football. And also what I wanted to do was completely blow away the stereotype.
Yeah.
You know, and there was no coincidence that the book I wrote was The Stupid Footballer Is Dead, because I saw the complete opposite in football. You know, it's even if you take some footballers that aren't academically particularly bright, but, you know, they can work you out in a split second.
Yeah.
Footballers are so astute, so insightful, so, you know, quick at working out people, very good people persons. And whenever you realise that actually, okay, they might not necessarily be able to remember how to regurgitate an essay or be able to do mathematical formulae, but then you think, actually, they have the ability to see where a ball's going at a certain speed, at a time, know they can get there in a split second. If you put the mathematical equation to what they're doing, they'd be created almost thinking they're genius or genii, but actually, let's be honest, that's not how they're perceived, because in this world, you're smart if you get good A-levels, do a degree, etc. And so for me, I just wanted to do everything that the typical footballer didn't, which is why I started learning to play the piano and the guitar when I was in my 20s, started learning Italian, salsa dancing, doing a degree, wanted to write a book, you know, wanted to start a business, just everything that a typical footballer wouldn't do.
And I guess other footballers possibly do it, but I was intrigued by the yoga story. So few weeks back, spoke with an 83-year-old yoga teacher, incredible woman. She was her kind of aim is to beat her mum, who was a 90-year-old yoga teacher.
Wow,
I mean, that's incredible.
That's a good goal to have in life.
Yeah, exactly. And she was so just at one with the present, like she was just in the moment all the time. And I just loved that you could feel that, like there was no hidden agenda or secondary thing. It was like, I'm just here having a conversation with you. I love that. So, I mean, when I told you that story earlier, you shared this wonderful yoga moment. I mean, firstly, touch on that, but then how do you think that kind of, that's helped to progress your thinking, like the way you are now?
And I suppose that goes back as well to what is the healthy lifestyle? Yeah. Well, so when you said about the yoga teacher in her 80s, I said that I've been doing yoga for 25 years, and for me it was a conversation with my mum that she suggested it. And again, looking back, I didn't realise that I had an open mind, but clearly I did, because I was doing yoga as a 17-year-old kid. So we had these things called videotapes. Do you know what a videotape is? So,
No.
Anyway, you can Google it, I'm sure. It would have been a bit like sort of streaming it off Netflix
Yeah,
so anyway, so I kept doing this, watching this this videotape, and I was doing yoga every day, and I didn't really have the cojones to go and do it at the training ground until eventually, when I was older, braver, and more comfortable in my skin, I'd go in and do it at the Norwich City training ground. But you can imagine what the footballers thought as I'm walking in with my little yoga mat under my arm. It just got ripped up, burnt in the ice machine, driven over, you know, just everything could happen. But stubburn little shit that I am, I was like, there's no way they're going to beat me. New mat, until eventually they stopped.
But there's good reasons you were doing it, though.
Yeah, because there's all the health benefits for football, and reduces your injury, you know, greater flexibility. And whenever I started doing it in the training ground after the first couple of weeks of abuse, then as I'm starting to do it, then they're starting to throw things at me. So there's just a whole lot of abuse. But actually, this is almost like the three pillars of change. If you want to change anything, the first thing you're going to get is abuse. Why are you doing that? You're so stupid. Why would you ever think of that? Then, ironically, the second thing was, after a couple of weeks of me consistently doing it, as I'm doing it one morning, one of the lads poked their head in. He was like, "What are you doing in there?" And I'm like, "I'm doing some yoga, getting ready for my training session." What I think was the third pillar, which is actually, so the first pillar is abuse, pretty much conflict, shoot me doing this. Second one's a bit kind of questioning, querying, why are you doing this? The third pillar, acceptance. What happened? Four or five of the lads were in doing it with me in the morning. So that's what happens, and footballers are like sheep. And so I've been doing it for 25 years, and again, not to try and impress you in any way, but I left football after nearly 20 years with one muscle injury. I don't know if that's a coincidence or not, but I never had anything more than one muscle injury, and that was in a shooting session in pre-season we probably shouldn't have been doing. So for me, it's had a massive, massive benefit on my life, which goes back to your question of what's a healthy lifestyle. So there's so many areas that you could focus on, whether it's diet, nutrition, exercise. For me, the actual benefits of keeping my body supple, flexible, if I needed to go and bend down, touch my toes as a 40-year-old guy, put my hands on the floor while standing upright, but other people can barely get past their knees. And again, I'm thinking long-term. I'm thinking like an 83-year-old yoga teacher whenever I'm 80. I still want to do my running, still want to do my weights, I still want to do my swimming and cycling and everything else, but you can only do all those things if you have your health.
I guess there's also, as much as you're doing these physical activities, you're with the career that you now have, also it seems like it's pretty deep rooted in your lifestyle and who you are anyway. You're mentally exercising as well, whether it be through reading books or whether it be through doing activities or you know, the work you do now with clients and companies is about mental exercise.
It's mental performance, because again, I don't like the stigma of calling it psychology or anything like that, because even though I just finished my master's in sports psychology, I don't like calling it psychology, because as soon as, when do you go and see a psychologist? When things are going really, really well, or when it's really absolutely bad, rock bottom and you don't know where to go. And that's why I thought, do you know what, I don't like that. So mental performance, because we're all performing, whether it's you and your role, you and your personal relationships, fitness, health, whatever it is. And for me, I'm the same, but what I want to do, how do I get better? How do I improve? How do I keep evolving and having a higher quality of life? And so the mental exercises are generally me stepping outside what I think is comfortable or normal. And when I come out of football, I only lived in this bubble for 20 years. And when you suddenly step out of that, you're like a duck out of water, and suddenly I was going, wow, everything I do is out of my comfort zone. Standing up, speaking in public, going to networking events, traveling the world by myself rather than someone telling me where to go, what time, where to be, where to have a day off. Just, it was outside my comfort zone until, ironically, a year of doing that, being outside my comfort zone was comfortable. So that mindset of going, I like trying new things. Not only do I like trying new things, I would much prefer now to go and do something new than go back and do something I've already done. Because that's what my philosophy is in life.
I guess you don't really know you've got to the end goal.
The edge.
Or until you've got, you know, you're already in it, and then you think, oh, that was the edge.
Because that was, I was already sort of, I saw it was somewhere back
done
there.
That.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, really? That was where I should have stopped?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Because that's where you're going for.
Keep going.
But that, again, that comes back to reading the book at 17 and going, what do you want your life to look like? Because it's probably not going to happen unless you take full ownership of it and make it happen, or at least, you know, without guaranteeing it, or, you know, having control over everything. But you can give yourself a much better chance of doing it if you have a really clear end goal.
Yeah.
And that's just not in health, fitness, exercise. That's, you know, financial, relationships, hobbies, travel, all of those things. And but, you know, Karen, without sort of, I don't want to preach or think about standing on a soapbox or anything, but I just sort of find that a lot of people that I meet, for whatever reason, don't generally look past kind of what's here in their life. It's almost like it's right in front of their face.
Yeah.
Because that's hard enough for some people. Some people just struggle to get through the day, and I completely understand that because I know people close to me who have that same opinion and same perspective of life. And I just appreciate that not everybody has the same resources, background, experience, knowledge, whatever it is. I'm just saying, for me, I want to go and make the most amazing life for myself because, you know, we're talking to a friend earlier about how some people have this thing called imposter syndrome, where they're sort of, they're in a meeting with a, you know, quite a high level senior team, and they're sort of just waiting for that little, come on, mate, you shouldn't be in this room.
Yeah.
And because, you know, whether it's because I'm from Belfast and you have a kind of, you know, innate confidence, or it's just part of your culture, but I'm like, I love being in that situation.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm being like, what are we doing next?
Yeah, the underdog.
Yeah. Just keep going, because that's life, isn't it? That's the experiences you want to have.
I mean, I think, I think you're so right. And I, what I love about, like, in the time I've known you, I have loved the connection that you, I've observed the connection you have to this willingness, or this very personal willingness to not be afraid to, you know, travel forward, to move forward, to experience. And there was a thing where somebody said, you make decisions out of fear or love. So all decisions are based on that, whether you really realize it or not. You can connect them either to do a love of something,
we call it pain or pleasure. You're either moving towards pain or you're moving away from pleasure, because obviously you don't want that to happen, so you want to move it towards what you actually think you love and enjoy. And so but it's the same thing. It's
and you strike me as someone who's always moving with love, and you know, you're smiling. I know it's a sunny, lovely day, but you know, you know, and I think that is maybe what healthy is.
And again, if you had asked me what healthy was as a kind of 16, 17-year-old kid when I was coming off the boat, you know, from Ireland, I would have said, healthy is training all the time and, you know, just focusing on football. Now, as a 40-year-old guy, I'm sitting here and my balance now is everything in my life.
Yeah.
That's all I want. I don't want to have the best career. I don't want to have the best, you know, fitness regime. I don't want to have, you know, be so strict with my dad, although I'm really interested in becoming a vegan, vegetarian. But all of these things, for me, it's actually a word come up on my phone recently about what a flexitarian is.
Okay.
And I didn't realize, so in my little app on dictionary come up flexitarian. I was like, that's interesting. What is this? And I was like, okay, right, well, flexitarian pretty much is sometimes a vegan, sometimes vegetarian, sometimes pescatarian, sometimes just eats normally.
Yeah.
I was like, that actually suits me.
That's
really
you.
Well.
Yeah.
So, but I do that with a lot of parts of my life now because I'm not so strict and focused on making the most of everything. I'm just very happy with trying a bit of everything because that's what I want in my life now.
A balancetarian.
If that's such a word, then that's
that'll
what
come
I,
up. You're a balancetarian.
That's what I would like.
I love it.
Yeah.
No, I really appreciate your time today. I know we're short on it. You're high flying. You're out there making
it's
moves.
Greatest resource you will ever have, mate.
Your time, exactly. No, I love that, and I really appreciate the chat. And you've opened my mind. I think the key things to say, you know, around that balance, not being too hard on yourself, but being strict in some respects, but also knowing, feeling comfortable in where you're moving, you know, and not, as you say, doing it for the wrong reasons. So. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, Kieran.
Thank you.